Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on this lovely Sunday morning. Getting the chills a little outside these days, as we can feel winter is coming in, and also Ramadan within the next 2 weeks. Time has just flown past us, and we are already at the doorstep of Ramadan. Allah make it easy for one and all, inshallah. And having one of the great nights last night also, it was very, very spiritual and uplifting in all the masjids that we've seen, all the messages that were going around. Alhamdulillah, Allah accept from each one. And please also, I ask one and all to please forgive me if I have inconvenienced anybody, if I have said anything wrong to anybody indirectly or directly. Please forgive us all. And may Allah make it easy for everyone, inshallah. And alhamdulillah, yesterday we were present at the Jalsa in Madrasa Zakaria. And what a great feeling that was, where you have ulama qualifying, and alhamdulillah, so great to see all those ulama there, young ulama, so great. Allah make it easy for all. And what fascinated me was the people that ulama that qualified were not only South Africans, they were from across the globe. We had from the United States, Mauritius, Reunion, you name it. And also the fruits have bared now. Fruits came out, and that was 7 years ago. Students came from Vietnam also who probably didn't know how to read Arabic at all. And alhamdulillah, today we have two alims that have just qualified. And shukr alhamdulillah, everything is just amazing. It's amazing how Allah works. Allah is just the doer. So we make shukr to the Almighty Allah for whatever is given. But I was taken aback with all the alims that were there. It was just so great to see so many alims from around the globe. Shukr alhamdulillah for that. And more than that also, the masjids had different programs. There were such spiritual programs around, or all around, wherever we've been checking all the masjids. And that is what we want. And alhamdulillah, we must make shukr to the Almighty Allah. Going around the world, seeing different countries of the world, people are limited in what they can do for the deen of Allah. And in South Africa, we make shukr to the Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, shukr that we are permitted to do whatever it is when it comes to deen, on obviously in the right way. And also, Allah accept. And Allah accept from one and all. And Allah accept from... Allah make it easy for us also in this country, the way it's going on. Allah make it easy, and we are, you know, the freedom of religion is of utmost importance. And we see it. We see all the comments coming from around the world. Going to some countries also, when you go there, masjids, you are so limited. You are watched when you go into a masjid. You cannot go in at certain times. You're only allowed to go in on namaz time and out again. They lock the masjids. And that happens around the world. You'll find that many, many countries, you find that happening. And in South Africa, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. We must make shukr to the Almighty Allah for that. Alhamdulillah, we make lakh shukr. Allah protect us all. Allah make it easy for us all. And Allah make it whatever is good for the Muslims throughout the world. And we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah make it easy for all the Muslims. Protect all the Muslims throughout the world for whatever is happening around the world. Like I keep on saying now, the world is becoming smaller and smaller. Although the world is a global village, but it's becoming smaller and smaller for places to be visited as well. So while you can, and if you are out, you are a tourist, you are a visitor, you know, you want to go to different parts of the world, while you can, rather do it. We see the limitations, but Allah make it easy for all, inshallah. And when it comes to cruise ships, it's so, you know, it's amazing. When it comes to cruises, it's amazing. It's how you look at cruises. Some people, in fact, most people that I've spoken to, most people that I deal with and I talk to, when you talk of cruises, so many says, they just come and they say, I would love to do a cruise. I would love to do a 7-day cruise. I'd love to do a 5-day cruise, whatever it may be. And believe me, when you do a cruise, it is one of, it's such a beautiful way of holidaying, I would say. It's, you are on a ship. And you have the world in front of you, in a sense where whatever you have on land, you have it on that ship, almost everything. Now, you know, it's amazing how these things are all done. I've come across now there's a ship that there's just taken off, and it's just doing its debut at the moment. And this particular ship, the Harmony of the Seas, it's controlled and it's run by the Caribbean Group. and it's the world's largest ship. The ultimate Royal Caribbean holiday, it arrived in Southampton on the 17th of May. The largest cruise ship in the world, which measures more than 4 football pitches in length, with a maximum capacity of about 6,780 passengers. 6,780 passengers at one go on the Royal Caribbean. That's how big it is. It's even taller than the Eiffel Tower. That is the size of the ship. It is amazing. It's the largest cruise ship in the world, the first water slides on a Royal Caribbean ship, and only the third ship in a Royal Fleet to have a zip line. That's how big it is. It debuts in Southampton, it debuted this week in Southampton and in Barcelona on the 7th of June. It's just on a debut. There's going to be cruises that's going to take place also soon. I think they're starting probably in October, November, they're going to be starting the cruises. And not very expensive though. I was surprised to see the pricing. Now, you have different routings of the ship that's going to be taking place. So, if you want to, and if you're doing a cruise, and if you plan on doing a cruise over December, look at this. Look at the Harmony of the Seas. For the inaugural season, 7 June 2016, Harmony of the Seas will offer 7 nights Western Meridian cruises originating from Barcelona and Rome. And at the end of summer and autumn season in late October, the ship will cross the Atlantic to the United States, where she will offer 7 nights Eastern and Western Caribbean cruises originating from Port Everglades, Florida and Port Canaveral, starting in November. Now, if you're looking at pricing, for 3 nights, you're looking at $599. That's about $200 per night. And then that is now inside. That's your cabins that are inside. Then you have the Ocean View cabins, which are slightly more, which is $236 per night. Then you have the balcony, which is $250 a night. And if you want those suites, but that is now classic suites, that's $533 per night. Then you have a 7-day cruise, which works out to about $131, the cheapest, $131 a night. And that's a 7-day cruise which goes, ports of call is Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Bahamas, and you get St. Thomas, you get St. Martin's, and you got Florida again. So it's a full cruising and also disembarking in some of the countries. That's also something that's beautiful to do. And then there's another one, I see, there's a whole list that they've got at the moment, but these are just a few which I just picked up from. And then you have another one which is $127 a night it starts from, and $141 for an ocean view. That is something nice to do. And that one is also from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It cruises, it goes into Haiti, Jamaica, you got Mexico, and comes back to Fort Lauderdale again. And that is also a beautiful 7-day cruise if you're really interested in doing that cruise. That it accommodates, it's got 2,747 staterooms with a wide variety of types of accommodation, and also all of them are with double occupancy, and ranging from small interior rooms through larger rooms through to suites, some of which are fitted with wall-mounted 18-inch screens covering nearly the floor and to the ceiling. That shows that the ship's environment as if the whole, whatever you see, you're seeing it through a window, but it's on a screen. You got that view. You got virtual balconies all on screen. So while you're in your room, you are viewing the outside on your screen. Everything. And that is how they've designed this particular screens also. And you have 43 categories of staterooms, which have they size from 180 square feet. Now those are big rooms. The amenities that this ship offers, that is what amazed me. The amenities, you have Vitality Spa and Fitness Center, which most of them have. Then you have a splashaway bay and an H2O zone water park. You've got 3 water slides called the Perfect Storm as a group. 10-story high Ultimate Everest, a spiraling dry slide with 2 cylinders. 10 stories high, which is about 30 meters high. And then you have 23 swimming pools on board. Also, you have whirlpools and 2 flow riders, surf simulators. They have a casino on board, they have movie theaters, whatever. Then they have puzzle breaks, Escape the Rubicon, a high-tech live room escape game for 12 players. They have that. And then they have 20 dining venues. Now those dining venues are huge. They have 20 of them. The first double story Wonderland restaurant. Then they have arts. Now what they've done is they've got 11,252 works of art. But those arts are not posted on a particular wall all the time. What they do is on a daily basis, those arts are rotated from wall to wall. So if there was something here today in front of your room, you probably saw a piece of art. Tomorrow you'll find something else, and that piece of art is taken somewhere else to another area. And they rotate all the piece of art, so you do not get bored of the same piece of art all the time when you're probably coming out of your room or wherever you're going. That is what they have also. That is now something which is amazing, because it doesn't give you that boredom of the same look all the time. And I think when you have a ship like this, you'd probably need a map to go back to your room, as big as it is. That is, it's like a city on its own. I'm looking at the pictures of this particular cruise ship. You'll never in your life think for once that you are on a cruise ship. It looks like a shopping mall inside. It looks like, it's just amazing when you see inside. You've got trees, you've got gardens, there's cars that are parked in on the deck inside. So it's like a normal town, looking like a normal city with a huge park. A park that's got a full garden park, as beautiful as that. They've got a Studio B ice rink, the aqua theater for diving shows, and 3D flying shows with acrobats, the bionic bar, and well, that is what they have there, the 1400 seat theater. Then they have over 10,000 species of plants, including 50 trees in the central park of the ship. DreamWorks experience with characters, with different type of characters. Two rock climbing walls, full-size basketball court. They have the zip line, adventure ocean program for children and youth. Then they have for royal babies and royal tots programs, like a nursery school kind of a thing. They have high-speed internet on the ship all the time. They have optional RFID-enabled wristbands, which is called the WOW bands, which will provide the same function as the C-Pass cards. They have all that on board. That is amazing. So if you're going there for a 7-day holiday, you will never come back and think that you are on a cruise. And also, with a huge ship like that, which I found when we did the Caribbean cruise, that ship wasn't as huge as this one, obviously. But you will not know that you are on the seas. You will not know you're on water. It is so stable that when you are on the ship also, there's no movement as such where it's shaking and where you get seasick and so on. I hardly found anybody getting sick when we did the cruise. There was one of the cruises that we did where, unfortunately, there was a hurricane that took place in, I think it was in the Bahamas. There was a hurricane at the time. And we were in the Caribbean, and it affected us there. You found for that one afternoon, lots of people got seasick. But before that, they prepared. They sent to every room, they sent some tablets, they sent some plasters and so on, just to be prepared for that, for the wavy and the rocky ship, which obviously happened due to natural forces. And we couldn't, that was something which it was unforeseen. But more than that, it is very stable. A lot of people ask me the question, won't I get seasick? Not really. Even if you are a person that gets very quickly seasick if you're in a boat, you will not just get seasick on the ship because it is so stable. And you get everything. They've got huge kitchens. They've got food 24/7. You get an ice cream bar where you'll have ice creams all the time. You just go there, stand in front. There's always queues there, obviously. You'll go there, stand there, get your ice cream and out again. Then you have those ice cream dispensing machines, those soft serve ice cream machines, which you just take a cone and you serve, you just swirl ice cream into the cone and you have your own ice cream. All that on board. And you don't pay for all those things. That's part of the trip. That's part of the deal. And that happens all the time. Then they have a lot of these cruise ships. Now, this particular one, I'm not so sure, but a lot of these cruise ships, what happens is they have lots of Muslims working on cruise ships like this, because they employ lots of people from the subcontinent, in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. A lot of them you'll find from Indonesia also. And they would tell us that, listen, we'll make sure that we prepare your pizza separate. And they show us, they wash the pans, they do it, they prepare separate pizzas for us all the time, just the plain cheese and tomato. They do that for us. And it makes a difference. And also, it's when it comes to preparation of food in it, you just tell them and they'll cater for you accordingly. So alhamdulillah, that is also something that's fantastic and something that is great. So this particular ship is called the Harmony of the Seas. It is a unique ship. It's the largest cruise ship in the world currently. So if you are interested in doing a cruise, there's many people doing the cruises from the UAE, but look into this and look at this particular cruise ship and see if you are interested and do this particular trip. It will be an amazing trip. In fact, this has to go onto our bucket list. It will be a trip to do, and it will be something unique. If it's a 30-story high slide, only the slide is 30 stories high, you can imagine. And if you're looking at all the different water slides that they've got those tubes where you go in from the top with water and you just swirl your way down into a swimming pool. So you can imagine, if there's so many swimming pools in this particular on this particular ship, you can imagine what different facilities they have at each swimming pool when it comes to all the different water features and all that. It's just amazing. And if you can, go scroll through the pictures on the net and you'll see. It is just amazing. I'm taken aback. This week I've just been going through all of it and I've just been taken aback of what I've seen. Alhamdulillah. We're supposed to have had the ambassador of the High Commissioner of Rwanda on air. Unfortunately, due to circumstances, and for some reason we cannot get hold of them at the moment. But we had planned to get them on and talk about Rwanda, because last week we spoke about Rwanda. And when we spoke of Rwanda, I couldn't believe it, that we got it right at our doorstep. We got a destination right at our doorstep. And having a destination like Rwanda, close to us, it has got such beauty and such cleanliness, and we overlooked it. And it does happen. But it is a country which I've been, this whole week, I've received so many calls, where I had so many listeners who SMS'd me also during the week telling me that they've been doing some reading on Rwanda after I spoke about Rwanda on Sunday last week. And they said they couldn't believe that Rwanda is so beautiful and it offers so much. And yes, it does. Rwanda, from what I gathered initially and what I thought Rwanda would be, because Rwanda has the stench of genocide against its name, lots of people find that, currently I myself thought, what a destination to go to Rwanda when I first heard that, you know, let's talk about Rwanda. And I said, no, can't be, man, because there was a genocide there, and it wasn't. The name is distasteful. And it made such a great difference when I did research on that. Many other countries, that's what happens. When you have a notion of a country, and when you look at a particular country and you think that this particular country, this is what happened, or whatever it may be, and when you look at that, you know, it's just something which brings that distastefulness in your mind, I would say, or in your mouth, and says that, why that country? If I'm going to go there, I'm going to see, like, for example, if you think, what happened in Somalia? You'll never be able to go to Somalia because what happened? And you say, oh, all the genocide, this, that, whatever it may be. And once again, we come back to another country, Vietnam. Same story. Now Rwanda, the same thing. We thought back, and lots of people, as we were discussing this week, with so many, and it was amazing. One listener called me and said, you spoke about Rwanda on Sunday, and when you started talking about Rwanda, I thought, where are you sending us into a jungle? And this particular person, I think it was from Ladysmith or somewhere, and he said that, I've just been reading about Rwanda after you spoke about Rwanda, and I think I am going to visit Rwanda very soon because of what Rwanda has to offer, and the way I see that Rwanda is even safer than South Africa from they went on to TripAdvisor apparently, and they say that all the what they're getting, the information they're getting on there, it's even safer than South Africa. And he says, I am definitely going to go to Rwanda. Likewise, you know, many a times we find that that's what happened. So what we'll do is, we are going to go up to the news now. After the news, I want to just go briefly on to Rwanda itself. Last week we spoke about the Serena Hotel Group, who has hotels in Rwanda. And Karen Sebenachen was telling us about the hotels and so on. But we didn't delve into Rwanda. I'm going to talk about Rwanda as a destination, Rwanda as a country as a whole, and also the history of Rwanda, when it started with all this genocide and whatever it is, and currently what Rwanda stands for, and the cleanliness, and one thing, that Rwanda's, that Kigali is the most cleanest city on the African continent. And that's what I leave you with, and we'll continue with it right after the news.
From the heights of Kilimanjaro to the depths of Jericho, and from the white sandy beaches and blue waters of islands in the Indian Ocean to the dense forests of the Amazon on the South American continent. Turn dreams into reality as we explore different destinations with myself, Muhammad Lambat. Tune in and listen to the views of ambassadors and counselors on Sundays between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. on the Globe Trucking Show.
Radio Islam International. The world is our community.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548. And we are live on the Globe Trotting program. Alhamdulillah, I think we just have now 2 weeks and then we've got Ramadan. So we just have two programs left and then we're into Ramadan already. What a flyer year we had this year. But that's how it goes. Allah knows best. And also, it's all the major signs of Qiyamah. You know, last night when we heard those bayans, it just makes you sit and wonder, that what are we in this dunya for? But we make shukr to Almighty Allah. Allah provides. Allah makes it easy for us, inshallah. That's what we beg from Allah, inshallah. Allah make it easy for us all. Now, we spoke about the cruises. In fact, I'm busy chatting to somebody on SMS, on WhatsApp here also, regarding a cruise. A listener here has been 3 times on cruises already. And it's an amazing trip. It's something which is amazing. And it's something which you can't explain. Because when you go on a cruise, everyone has a different experience. And what you do on a cruise and what somebody else does, it's different. But it's amazing. Anyway, be that as it may, we were talking Rwanda. We're going to continue with Rwanda. Now, Rwanda is a country, as I mentioned before the news, I was taken aback, first of all. Now, firstly, Rwanda, Kigali is the capital of Rwanda. And it's often lauded as Africa's cleanest city. The country's 2008 ban on non-biodegradable plastics is often mentioned as a cause. Another is that on the last Saturday of every month, people across the country commit time to projects aimed at improving the country's public spaces in a mandatory practice called the Umuganda, loosely translated as coming together to achieve a common purpose. Now, what they do is the last Saturday of every month, all the citizens get together just to clean the city. That's what they do. And then they put up, you know, like what they've done from what I've gathered and what I've spoken, when I've spoken to the embassy, I was talking to them about that also. What they do is, when people want to improve buildings or whatever it is, painting of buildings, painting of public walls and so on, they do it on that particular day. So they sort of polish up the whole city on that particular last Saturday of every month. That's what they do. The first greeting travelers encounter when they step off the plane at Kigali International Airport is a large sign declaring non-biodegradable degradable polythene bags, that's plastic bags, are prohibited. That's the sign that is written there outside at the airport. Non-biodegradable polythene bags are prohibited. Welcome to the capital of Rwanda. And that is where cleanliness and order prevail. Trash is hard to find even on the dirt roads outside the main arteries. Vendors have been banished from sidewalks and plastic bags. Walking down the street with one could cost you more than $150 if you got a plastic bag and you're walking around with that. While store owners found stocking them face up to 6 months in prison if they sell plastic bags. All this housekeeping makes Rwanda a pleasant place to visit. You find cleanliness. Rwanda is landlocked, hilly and crowded. The country exports coffee and tea, but otherwise has few of the natural resources that have blessed and more often cursed some of its neighbors. Despite these obstacles, the government says it wants to lift Rwanda into middle income range by the year 2020. So they are on the up at the moment. South Africa is probably on the opposite. They are on the up. They're climbing as they go along. The strategy is to skip over the industrialization stage and transform Rwanda into a service economy. And Singapore is often cited as an example, as a service economy. And kilometers and kilometers of fiber optic cable has been laid throughout the country. That is why they say your 3G and 4G network is the best in the whole country, even in the rural areas. You got your cabling, you got your internet speed is old speed. it's like lightning bolt speed. It's excellent. That is in Rwanda, in Kigali. The government has also invested heavily in its population. Virtually all Rwandans have health insurance, and the country has made remarkable progress in beating back malaria. This focus on people has captured the imagination of ordinary Rwandans. Parents maintain that their children's education is what will pull Rwanda out of poverty. And this is their vision. Education is their vision. And that is what's building Rwanda at the moment as we speak. Cleanliness is no small part of that vision either. The mayor of Kigali confirms basic sanitation is obviously a prerequisite for the public health. People working in a comfortable environment will also think better. The mayor also added that an attractive Kigali is more likely to draw in foreign visitors and investors if you keep it the way it is now. Simply as what their vision is, 100% guaranteed, that is what has happened. That is why we're talking Rwanda today. Simply because of what their vision is, they are implementing their vision, and we have picked up on that, and now we're looking at Rwanda as a country to visit. And it's becoming a destination of choice for many, many people around the world. So, and also they're looking at investors, and naturally when that happens, that is the uptake of a country. And that's when you find these investors, people are comfortable to be in the country. You have visitors coming, they are comfortable to be in the country. Not that when you get out of the airport, coming to your hotel, already you had somebody following you because they know what value you've got from the airport they picked up. For example, this week we had an unfortunate incident in the Edenville area, and just not far from where I am, about less than 500 meters from where I am, we witnessed an armed robbery. There's probably somebody that had money, or they drew money from the bank or whatever it may be, and they were on the highway. We saw it, next best thing, I went past there after the scene happened, we were there, and we noticed this particular vehicle was stopped on the highway, dead stopped. Five men jumped out, and we saw them with AK-47s. We saw all those things happening in front. And they shot the guy. They went in, they grabbed the parcel, and they jumped into their car, and they drove away. In the mix, there was another car in the middle. They opened the boot. They stole whatever they could while they were robbing the first car. And they carried on. That is the fear they're putting in people, that in daylight, open on the highway, that's what we saw, and it happened on Friday. So, like that has to be stopped. And inshallah, that will happen. We make God to know my tell light must happen, inshallah. Now, that is what Rwanda is looking at, cutting all that. When you're walking in the city of Kigali, you'll probably find petty crime, but major crimes are all, they nip it in the bud immediately, and it doesn't happen. More generally, Rwandan leaders seem to clearly understand that image matters in economic development. If Rwanda wants to become a modern center of IT and finance, it has to look like one. And in a continent plagued by corruption, African continent plagued by corruption, leaders see Kigali's spotlessness as a symbol of their commitment to fighting graft. They want to be clean in everything. That's what the mayor says. They want to be clean in everything. To have people clean in mind, clean just for sanitation, and investors get clean money also. That's what they look at. And so Kigali is miles away from the chaos that envelopes most developing world metropoles. Motorcycle taxis are ubiquitous, but so are the extra helmets that drivers are required to have their passengers wear. They make sure that the passenger and the motorcyclist, the rider also has helmets. We have that law in South Africa also. And you find in most African countries that we've been to also, you'll find that they move around without helmets, which is dangerous, but that's what happens. And in Kigali or in Rwanda, it's a necessity for helmets. The traffic lights are built into sidewalks, and bus stop blink like Christmas lights all the time. And you have the city center is mooned over by an army of broom-wielding street sweepers all the time. So you'll find them cleaning all the time. More ominously, soldiers and policemen line the major streets at rush hour. You have the peak times, morning, afternoon. You have cops all the time in the city, in the towns. So when you have that, you're obviously going to reduce crime because you got visible policing. The centerpiece of the clean campaign is doubtless, and what they call it, Umungenda, a monthly day of mandatory community service for all residents. If you are a Rwandan resident, it's mandatory for you to be present on that day to keep Rwanda clean, to keep the city clean. The tasks are varied, but often involve litter removal and other beautification projects. Politicians are not exempt from that. Rwandan President Paul Kagame and his Ugandan counterpart, Yoweri Museveni, recently labored with residents of a Kigali neighborhood to prepare construction of a school building. Rwandans must have their Umuganda participation certified on a card by local officials. So whatever they do, they have a card and that is certified by the local official that that's what they've done for the city, or on that particular day what they've done. It's noted on cards. So you can't fool anybody. It's all done officially. Without that document, they can be denied services at government offices. So if they go for employment also, they'll be denied to get employment at the government office if they do not do that. If they do not do that services. Even in poor neighborhoods, which tend to lie at the bottom of Kigali's main hills, the poverty appears less abject than in other African capitals. Streets are free of sewage, and the poor live almost universally in mud brick huts, which seem less haphazard than in the shacks of other cities, of metal sinks and so on. Many households also make some effort to screen their property, and they put it with plants and they put fencing around it, although it may be mud houses, but they make it fancy, they make it neat, and they keep it clean. That's what they do when it comes to keeping the neighborhood clean. In other words, Kigali is unbending the images that visitors from rich countries often associate with extreme poverty. They look, the way they're presenting Kigali and Rwanda, that the Western world or the first world country people come in and they will find that what they expected and what they see is two different things. And that's what is expected. Many a times when you travel abroad and you go abroad, you go to some countries, when you tell them you're from South Africa, you'll find that some people, South Africa, yes, we know. You live in a jungle, and you know, they are so naive. They are so like backward, and they do not know that how modern South Africa is, but they will still tell you live in a bush. Yeah, we play along with them. We also tell them, yes, we are, what are you going to do? And just come to South Africa and you have a look. And people have that notion with them. And that is when, now all these, the promotion of a country like this makes a difference. It changes. It changes the position of a person's thinking. And it changes their outlook on how a country is by them coming in to visit, where they know that there's safety, and they would come then. If they know that there's safety in a certain country, and it's quite cheap for them, if you're looking currently with the rand dollar, it's cheap for them to come to an African country and visit, they would come and they would find the difference. Many a times you'll find people come and they come again because they realize that, oh, this is a cheap holiday, first of all, and secondly, we're getting value for our money, and then we're also getting a beautiful country to visit. Now, that is what Rwanda currently is aiming for. And then they also, you find that the mayor also said, he says that they are convinced that cleanliness is not only for the Western countries. Everybody in Kigali seems to be on a mission, whether it's the workers carting goods about in wheelbarrows, or the uninformed children, school children heading to and from classes. Begging is extremely rare in Kigali city. And there are a few signs of homelessness. This absence of explicit human misery may be a function of Rwanda's emphasis on social services. That is why they create homes and so on. And as the mayor puts it, there are some who just are street people because they are irresponsible or because they are drug consumers sometimes, which they are also tackling at the moment. We take them and bring them into re-education centers. That's what they do. And the Kigali residents who are considered vagrants and are subjected to arrest and confinement in those centers, including one of the remote islands in Lake Kivu. They have these massive homes that if they find that they are street beggars and so on, they take them and put them in those homes and they take care of them there. That's through social services. Residents are sent to the centers without trial, and the decision to commit a detainee is made by a team of social workers as a last resort. The mayor himself was unapologetic about the policy, which he said applies to those considered irresponsible, but not to the sick. When you can't take decisions for your own good, he said, we take care of you. And they don't throw people on the streets. They look after them. That's what they do. The question raised by Rwanda's push for pleasant streets mirror the large debate about the country's development path. On one hand, you have Rwanda is a shining success story in the world of international development. And then you have the African continent, which has corruption, which has the image of corruption. So that has to change. And Rwanda is trying to change that from within. And that's where they will, once that changes, they say they want to try and change Africa, that it must not be recognized as a corrupt continent. And it will make a difference. Kigali streets will remain spick and span. Rwanda will continue wooing foreign capital, and leaders will do their best to ensure visitors get the message. And this is a place where things work. Step out of the airport, and perhaps having left your plastic bags with a friendly but a firm custom official, and one of the first signs you'll see declares, investment, yes, corruption, no. And as we know, Rwanda is a sovereign state in Central and East Africa, and one of the smallest countries on the African mainland. Located a few degrees south of the equator, so your temperatures are fantastic. Also, when it comes to going to visit, you can go just about any time of the year because it's just south of the equator, and it's bordered by Uganda, Tanzania, Burundi, and the DRC. Rwanda is in the African Great Lakes region and is highly elevated. Its geography dominated by mountains in the west and savannah to the east, with numerous lakes throughout the country. The climate is temperate to subtropical, with two rainy seasons and two dry seasons. Each year you have that just those seasons, because it's right on the equator, just below the equator. The population is young and predominantly rural, with the density among the highest in Africa. Rwandans are drawn from just one cultural and linguistic group. Although within this group there are three subgroups, you get the Hutu, the Tutsi, and the Twas. Now, when it comes to cultural, when it comes to all on the whole of the African continent, it is something which is a norm, where you have your different cultures and you have your different groupings, and that is a total norm on the African continent. So it is like that. Even you have the caste system also, and the caste system within a single group of people also you have. And today Rwanda has low corruption compared with neighboring countries, although human rights organizations report suppression of opposition groups, intimidation, and restrictions of freedom of speech. The country has been governed by a strict administrative hierarchy since pre-colonial times. There are five provinces, and it is delineated by borders drawn in 2006. Rwanda is one of only two countries with a female majority in the national parliament. Then you get hunter-gatherers. They settle the territory in the Stone and Iron Ages, followed later by Bantu peoples. The population, you have different clans of people also in Rwanda. And the economy suffered heavily during the 1994 Rwandan genocide, but it's still strengthened, and the economy is based mostly on subsistence agriculture. Coffee and tea are the major cash crops for export. Tourism is the fastest growing sector at the moment in Rwanda, and is now the country's leading foreign exchange earner. Rwanda is one of only two countries which has mountain gorillas that can be visited safely, and visitors are prepared to pay high prices for gorilla trekking permits. And there's so much else to do in the city of Kigali and Rwanda itself. There's lots to do, and I am seriously looking, and in fact I will get the ambassador also on. We are going to talk about Rwanda some other time, probably after Ramadan, because it's a country to go to. I'm busy looking at pricing also with different agents to see who's the cheapest. I'll bring that to you and see who can offer good pricing to Rwanda. And let's visit Rwanda. It is a country that I'm just, like I said, I'm taken aback. And we can look at it as a destination of choice. It's not far, so it's quite cheap also to go from. It's just above Tanzania, so it's quite cheap to leave, to go from South Africa. So, you have different types of hotels that are there available, so you can also have a look at that. Look at all the different class of hotels that you can go to. and you are going to a very, very safe destination. So we will look into that, and we'll delve more into Rwanda, inshallah. I'm going to be looking at other African countries also, but like I said, Rwanda has just taken me aback. So we'll see, inshallah. Next week, we are going to be talking Malaysia. We're having the embassy of Malaysia in the studio next week. We're going to be talking Malaysia, and we're going to have some experiences shared with some listeners that went to Malaysia also, inshallah. It will be an amazing program. So let's take part in next week's program, inshallah. For myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.